Good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening.
Amen. God bless you.
And God bless. Amen. You know, I got to thinking about this evening. I forget to get to thinking about the message tonight. You know, there's going to come a time and day we ain't going to have to worry about no more heartaches, ain't going to have to worry about no more troubles. We ain't going to have to worry about no more finances or anything. That's coming that day. But you know, until that day comes, we must do what the Lord commands us to do. And I believe His Word commands us to do a whole lot of things that we don't want to do sometimes, but we got to do it. But tonight, I want to bring you a message tonight out of the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 12, and before we get into it, I just want to give each one of you the opportunity tonight. Maybe you just got something you want to thank the Lord for. Does anyone just want to thank the Lord for something in your life? You got to be thankful for something.
Lord has blessed us.
He has that.
Personally, He's blessed us financially. It's been some close times, but as a church, He's blessed us. And I think it's a whole lot of those relatives.
Yeah. Yeah. The Lord is good to us. The Lord is good to us. He really is. In spite of ourselves, He still loves us. Still good to us. Anyone else before I get to start to read tonight? In Deuteronomy chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 1. We're going to try to read down to verse 9. Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgment which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy father giveth thee to possess it, all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nation which ye shall possess serve their gods. And look at that word gods. It's a little g. And it says upon the high mountains and upon the hills and upon every green tree And ye shall overthrow thy altars, and break thy pillars, and burn the groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven image of thy gods, and destroy the name of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitations shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Verse 6, and thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and have offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offering, and the firstlings of the herbs of your flock. And there ye shall eat therefore the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hands upon, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee. Verse 8, ye shall not do after the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Now, Father, tonight we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you will just have your will and way tonight within the hearts of the people. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch my heart. And Father, that I will bring forth the message, Father, that you've already prepared in my heart. And Lord, if this is not the message for tonight, Lord, I pray, Father, that the Holy Ghost will just lead me away from this message into something else. But Father, I believe within my heart that this is a message for the hour. And God, we pray, Father, tonight. There are few here in number, but Lord, we know, Father, when little is much, you're there. And Father, we know, God, that you can use each one of thy people tonight. And Father, we seem like that maybe what we are facing and what we're trying to do this day, it seems like maybe to us it's impossible to do. But Father, we know that we're serving a living God, that everything is possible through you. And Father, we must turn it over to you tonight. And Lord God, I pray, Father, that you'll just bless the service tonight. Touch the ones that need to be touched. And save the one that's lost tonight, wherever they may be. We pray, Father, that they will be saved before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. We know where Moses right here was delivering God's message to the Israelites here concerning their journey. You know, we're on the same journey as they was back then. Our journey is not as hard as it seemed like as it was back then, but still the journey that we're on is still tough. We have some trying times that comes upon us that we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn, because it seems like we got all the evil forces just pounding it down upon us, because we know also that Satan, he would love his very best to come in and close this church down. Not only this church, but all the churches in the city of Danville in Pennsylvania County. He would love to see them churches close. But you know how Satan will have the churches closed? He won't have them closed by the people outside, to where the people don't come to the church. Where the people that Satan uses to close the church is the people that's inside the house of God. Because they think about, well, I don't particularly care for this, and I don't like the way they doing things. Well, it doesn't make no difference. As long as what we're doing, and if we doing it for the cause of Christ, and if we're doing it, try to allow other people to hear the gospel where they must be saved, then we don't need to worry about anything else. Only thing we need to worry about is doing what God has asked us to do, and that's to preach the gospel. And you say, well, I can't preach. Well, the word of God tells us also there, I believe it is in 2 Corinthians there, it says that every individual that is saved by the grace of God must be a witness. Now, what is a witness? They are nothing but preachers. When you go out and when you witness to someone, you're telling them that, hey, God loves them. Now, the difference between a preacher and a pastor is a preacher, he can go out here and he can preach to the people. He's just delivering God's message. We can see over there in the latter part of the 28th chapter in the book of Matthew, where it's talking about the mission that we need to go into the highways and the hedges. We need to go out into the field. We need to go across country, across this world, and give out the gospel. That they are preachers. Now, I don't want you to leave here tonight and you say, well, the preacher said, hey, tonight, he said, I'm a preacher. I always thought God's word says a lady can't be a preacher. No. God's word says a lady cannot pastor a church. A lady cannot be ordained of God to pastor a local church. But yes, we need to go around. We don't need to worry about this and worry about that and nothing like. We need to give the gospel out at every chance. We have not come to the place in our life to where it says over here in verse 9 where I just read, for ye are not as yet come to the resting place, to the place to where we can sit down and we can just rest a little while. It's not a time to rest. It's not a time just to sit down and not do anything. We have people today that's they sitting in the pews, but they sitting there and they don't want to do anything. And I thank you, the ones that stood up tonight. You said, well, you know what God can do with me and everything. One thing about it, that there's power in, and that's prayer. You may not go out here and maybe knock on doors or go out here and visit like you would like to in the way you did in the past. You may not be able to do that, but you can pray. We need some prayer warriors today. And if you can get in touch with God, you need to get in touch with God. It's better for you to stay at home and pray and get in touch with God for the individuals that you're praying for. And we need to realize too, we need to quit playing church. I think when we go to God in prayer, we need to go to Him in agony in prayer. And when we go to God in agony with prayer, that means that, hey, that we done got all of our junk out of the way. We done got everything that was in our life, and we done got rid of that. We're not thinking about anything else. Now we're going to agonize over the ones that we're praying for. We need to agonize over that lost loved one that we have. Yes, I have a lost loved one. I'd love to see him get saved. I would love to see him get saved. Only thing I can do is pray for him. Because the more people goes to him and visit them, the more that they're going to likely stay away from God's house. Just like I heard somebody say here the other day, says, well, I've prayed, I've been praying for you. And he'd go to him and he'd talk to him about his life and asked him, would he like to get saved today? And he said, no. He says, there's no need coming back if you're going to talk about all of that and everything. He said, well, I'll be back, but I won't mention God. I won't mention God to you, but I will mention you to God. You won't know it, but I'm going to talk to God about you. I want to see you saved. And he said, now, if you're going to come out there like that, don't come back. He said, that's fine. He said, but next time I see you, he said, I'm not going to bring up church. I promise you I will not bring up church. And he said, that was hard for him not to do. But he knew in his heart that if he did, that he would never be welcomed back to his house. And this was family members. But we need to agonize. We need to shed some tears over them. We need to allow them to hear us agonizing in prayer over their soul. And the reason a whole lot of time our family members, they don't want to come to the house of God. And I'm not saying it's with your family, but it was with mine. It seemed like the more I would care for them, and the more that I loved them, and the more that I showed them that I wanted something better for them, it seemed like that they didn't want it. It seemed like that the everything they was doing was okay. Which it could have been. Everything they was doing could have been okay. It could have been up above. But they wasn't saved. That's the key to the whole thing. If we can get them, praise be to God, if we can get them to Jesus, if we can get the allow the Holy Spirit to come onto their heart and convict them, then they will come to know Jesus. And I've never had to go back to anybody that I've ever sat down and I've ever talked to and led them to the Lord, or when I went to the hospital and visited somebody and I led someone to the Lord. I've never had any of them come and ask me, say, preacher, forget it. I don't want no more part of it. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do that. No, they never come back and say it was the worst thing that I've ever done. It's the best thing that they've ever done. Why? Because one thing, they escaped the penalties of hell. Now, a whole lot of people say, well, you preach on hell too much. Well, hey, well, I understand that Jesus preached on hell a whole lot. He mentioned more about hell than did heaven. So if he mentioned more about hell than he did heaven, then that's what he wants us to preach on. That's what he wants us to talk about. That's what he wants us to agonize over the lost sinner, that they go into hell. But we haven't come to that place of rest where we can just sit down and rest a little while. We haven't come to that place yet. But there's going to come a day and time. We ain't going to have to worry about this. We ain't going to have to worry about that. We ain't going to have to worry about the preachers. We ain't going to have to worry about the preachers getting paid. Or we ain't going to have to worry about the finances of the church. Why? Because we're going to be there with the treasure of all. We're going to be one there with the ones that is over all and can take care of all. He's the only one can do anything with me. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you this right in front of my wife. My wife cannot do anything with me. But God can. God makes me behave. Why? Because I don't want to bring a shame and a reproach to him. And if we think about it, none of us do. But we must realize that the children of Israel right here, Moses was preaching the same message to them. We can go to Exodus chapter 3, where Moses was called by God to preach his word. Moses went, and he was up at the burning bush. He did not see the face of God. He seen the hinder parts of God. Could not no one look on the face of God. But it says right here in verse 11 says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I? Who am I?" Moses is asking God, "Who am I, God?" Like, he's saying, "God, you don't know me, God. God just took up the dust and created him, but God didn't know him." Basically what Moses is saying. But he says, not only that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses was going to do what God asked him to do, but Moses didn't know how to do it. Moses complained about it, just like we do today. But it says right here in verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The Lord, the God of your father, has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" He's asking God, said, "God, what am I supposed to say to the children? What am I supposed to say to them?" Moses is supposed to listen. Moses is supposed to listen to that small, attentive voice that only God could give him the very words to say to the people. In verse 14 it says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Verse 15, "And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." He went because God called him. And it said right here, in chapter 4 there, it's talking about where Moses there, he went to God and he told God, he said, "God, I can't speak. I have a stammering tongue. I just utter and people can't understand me as I speak." In verse 10 it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow of tongue." He was stuttering. That's what he meant. That he was telling God that he was stuttering. And God knew he was stuttering. God knew what Moses could do. So God went a little further than that. He says up here in verse 14 of chapter 4 in the book of Exodus, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. Now God has come to Moses and says, well, Moses, you don't come up with excuses. You can't do it. You don't know what to say to people when you go and visit them. You don't want to say to the Israelites, and you can't speak. You don't have no eloquent voice. You don't have the big fancy words. Moses was trying to get out of it. Moses was trying to get out of what God wanted him to do. But then God came back on Moses. He says, and the anger of the Lord. You know, sometimes God the Father, he does get angry. And I know we got that verse in the New Testament that speaks about hallelujah, praise God. Where you can sin. But you know something? You can be angry and sin not. We can be angry with people, but we don't have to sin to the point that we won't speak to them. Yes, we can be angry at what they're doing, but we don't have to sin and say, well, just because they done that, I ain't going to speak to them no more. Are we going to allow sin to come into our heart when we get angry? We shouldn't. But a whole lot of times, we allow anger to take over our thoughts. Anger will take over our mannerism. Anger will take over our life. Then God can't bless us. But I know that he can speak well, speaking of Aaron. God goes back to Moses. Moses, okay, you say you can't speak. You say you can't go out here and talk to the people that I want you to talk to. And you ain't got the words to say. If you say them, you say you're stuttering. They will not understand you. But Moses, I want you to go anyhow. But your brother's going to go with you. That right there is already another in the Old Testament that goes along with the New Testament, where when we go out and visit, we don't need to go out and visit by ourselves. We must go out two by two and visit. Moses and Aaron went right along with him. And Aaron was doing his speaking. See, God probably told Moses, no, Moses, Aaron's going to speak to the people. But what I want you to do, I want you to listen. While you're listening, I want you to be praying. He won't want to get out of it. That's what he was doing. He was trying to get out of it when he was telling God, I can't go visit. How many of us today has come up with that excuse is, I can't go and visit. I can't go and talk. I can't talk to the people, to strangers. I just feel so inadequate. I can't talk to people. I don't know that much scripture. I don't know anything. Well, if you know enough. You know enough to give them your testimony. How God saved your soul. How God saved my soul. He has given us enough. That's what we need to do. And by the way, they don't need to know anything about the church. They don't need to know anything about what's going on in the church. They don't need to know that when coming to the church, yes, we'll pray, and then we'll have a couple of songs sung, and then we'll take up an offering, and then we'll sing some more, and then the choir will sing and all of that. They don't have to know all of that. They already know that. They already know what goes on in the house of God. But what they don't know, what goes on in your life. And when they find out from you what goes on in your life, that you love God and you love the church, and you want to see the church grow, and
and you want to grow also. That's what they want to see. That's what people want to hear about. It's what God has done for us as individuals. I can start right now and tell you what all God's done for me and what God has all done for my family. But if I started and from a time that I got saved, even, I can go back even before that. I can go back when I was in the world lost and some of the things that God done in my life. That at that time, I didn't know anything about it. But I see now where God was really preparing me to where when I did get saved. But see, I had to call on His name. It wasn't that He called on me. I had to call on Him. And I didn't have to go where He was. He came where I was at. He came right to my living room at 465 Jenny Lane, Danville, Virginia. That's where He came. He came with them three men. And when them three men brought the gospel, that's where He came. He came with them. I didn't go out searching for Him. I don't know anybody that went out searching for Him. Because if they was out in the world, if they was lost, they didn't want no part of Him. I ain't never seen anybody ever want a part of God when they was out in the world. There's some people say, well, I wish that I got saved all my sin. Well, hey, I had to. I wish the Lord had come into my life years and years and years earlier. But it didn't happen. And I cannot dwell on that fact. But what I must dwell on is the fact that now that He's real with me. He's real in my heart. He lives there. And when I had my knee surgery, the knee surgery that I had, as far as the surgery went, that wasn't a breeze, I thought. But when I was laying up in the hospital, do you think that I was laying there in the hospital bed by myself? No. When I got up and I got in that hospital bed, the Lord Jesus was right there with me. He got up in the bed with me. He was right there. And He's right there with all of us. But He wants to hear from us. When's the last time that we really, truly got in touch with God? That God knows that we mean business. We need to mean business with God. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. And the word right there, giveth you, is what He has promised you. We have so many promises through God's word. So many promises. And sometimes I act like, well, God, I don't need no more of your promises. I got enough of them. But I don't need to feel that way. I need to feel like the God, I want every one of your promises in the book. I want all your promises that you've got from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the back of the book of Revelation. I want your promises. And He will give us. But we have to go and search out His heart. We have to ask Him for the promises. How do we ask Him? I don't need to go to God and say, well, God, you know that promise in the Bible where it says that you never leave me, you'll never forsake me. I believe in that, God. But you know, so sometimes I just don't believe you nowhere around. God and my family.
You say in your word, if we come, if we ask. We come and knock. We can receive the promises that you have there for us. But he says, son, you haven't come and asked.
I know that you know what I need. You know the promises that I'm talking about, God. He knows about it. He knows about all of us. He knows about every promise. He knows about everything that we've ever done, and he knows exactly what we need. But he wants us to come and ask him for that specific need. We don't need to come to him and ask him about this and that and everything. And we don't need to ask him, say, well, God, you know, thank you for saving me and all of that. Thank you for just being with me today. God don't need to know all that. He wants us to come to him and say, God, I need for you to do this. And he will do it. How many in here believe tonight? And I believe all of y'all will say, you'd probably raise your hand. How many of you do you honestly believe within your heart that God can fill all these pews up? That God can fill them up. We can't fill them up. The only thing that we can do, we have to do what he's asked us to do, and that's to go out. That's to call people. Tell people. You know,
and I know somebody mentioned something this morning about the Facebook, and my daughter, she's on Facebook and everything, and don't get me wrong, the Facebook is good. And there's nothing wrong with the computer. But where the devil comes in on the fact is of the individual that uses the computer. It's not the computer. This computer right here has done a whole lot of good. And it still will be. But I still believe that we need to go and pick up that phone and call somebody. Let them to hear our voice and say, you know, I missed you today. I haven't seen you in church in a while. I just love for you to just come on back. And saying, you got two other words that I believe that every Christian needs to be able to say. And don't say it because you may not be guilty of anything. The reason they may not be here. But you can pick up that phone and you can call.
Or you can go by the house and you can visit them. And you can invite them to church. It's been a long time. But before you get through with the conversation, you can all say, always say this. I'm sorry. If it's anything that I have done, anything that you've seen in my life, it's caused you to get out of church. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Hey, I mean, I'm one of the people that I mean, I didn't even know, but I heard that they didn't particularly like me. I went up to them and told them, I said, well, I don't know what I've done, but I must have done something, because I understand you don't particularly care for me. You don't like me. I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry because you don't like me. I'm just sorry that you feel that way. If I've ever done anything wrong, then I ask for forgiveness for it. And that's all people want us to do, is to show the love of God. And that right there is showing the love of God in our heart, in our life.
I go to the nursing home, Piney Forest twice a month, and go to Roman Eagle twice a month at night. And Piney Forest during the day twice a month. And I'll tell them all the time over there.
I said, if I've ever said anything over here that maybe has caused ill feelings between you and me, I'm sorry. I don't want it to where we can't have fellowship no more. And when somebody is holding a grudge, you can't have fellowship with them. They're not going to have fellowship with you. You're not going to have fellowship with them. But I tell you what, you go to them and you say, I'm sorry. Whether you've done anything or not wrong, whether you've said anything, just let them know that, hey, you're willing to go the extra mile. You're willing to go over and beyond to allow them to feel the joy. Hey, if that's all, hey, if that's what takes it to, for people just to get back in church and get right with God, then somebody needs to make me a billboard and put a stand on the back of my car, and I can ride up and down Riverside Drive. I'll ride over all over the city. Say, I don't know if I've done anything wrong or not, but I'm sorry. You need to get right. You need to get back to church. People want to get back in church.
We haven't come to the place as yet for the rest. But when we get that place to where we can rest,
then we can look around and we can see all the inheritance that God has for us. I don't have much to add in. What little I do have, if I go by the grave, my wife and my daughter's going to get it. But I'm not looking for that kind of inheritance. And I know their heart. I know that both of their hearts, and I don't believe that they're looking for that kind of inheritance either. But they know what we got. It ain't gonna be much. But when we get over that, it's woo! Praise God, hallelujah. Just think about it. I mean, here I am standing straight. I got an 8 by 12 inch block right here I'm standing on. When I get to heaven, I can stand just like that on that 8 by 10 block of gold, the streets of gold, hallelujah. And I can be worth that one block, that one little 8 by 10 block is going to be worth more than what anybody can ever accomplish. And talking about all the trillions of dollars that they spend up in Washington, D.C., I mean, that, all the trillions, they up there at $17, $18 trillion, man. That trillion, the new $18 trillion, is not going to even start like that, because that right there is pure. It's transparent glass. I mean, we got something to shout about. We got something to praise God about. I'm ready to go home. I just assume God will take me home tonight. I just assume for to go out the door right now, and if we go out this door, we're going to be toward the eastern sky, and I can hear the trump of God. You know, hear the trumpet? We might to be tuned in. You know how to tune a guitar, how to tune a piano and everything? We got to be tuned in to the trumpet. I mean, they blow the harp, they do anything, or play the harp or do anything else they want to. But we're not going until we get the trumpet. Some people say, well, Jesus is coming back soon. He's not coming no farther than the eastern sky he can step out of the fall. When he comes back to this earth, the rule and reign, he will come back with you. And he's coming back on a white horse. It's a long time since I've ridden a horse. I've never ridden a white one. But he's going to ride a white one. I had an individual in the community tell me one night we're going to the prayer room. And everything, he said, you know something? He said, I know you're the preacher. You always talk about riding a white horse. And everything. He said, but you know, when I come back from heaven, we're going to Lord and my Savior and rule over this earth. He said, I just like for you to allow me to be able to ride a pinto. Because I think a pinto is a fine looking horse. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. If you go, you're not going to ride a pinto back because that pinto is not spotless. It's not spotless. So you're going to come back with a white horse. He said, well, since you said that, what I said already, I know all this now. Praise God, but we're coming, we're going home one day. And we're going home and we're going to rest like for a while. So we can see all the inheritance, see all the beauty that is right. And yes, we're going where the loved one is gone before us. But I'm going to leave you with this thought. I'm going to close with this one thought. You know, once we get that, once we're in that sky, going home, we're going to be fast as light. And you know what? I'm going to drop off all this extra weight. And I'm going to drop off these glasses. And that artificial knee that I have, it's going to be gone. This old flesh that I got that is sinful, it's going to be gone. And guess what? I ain't going to be 63, I'm going to be 73, I'll be 33 years old. Once a year. That's why I'm going to be good for you. It's fine. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this another opportunity, Father, that where we can just learn a little more about our precious word. Father, we know, Lord, also that we haven't come to that place of rest as of yet. And the inheritance, Father, that you promised us. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to stay busy for thee until you call us on. Father, last your soul by his law. Father, we must be about thy business. Father, you're not here anymore, walking around physically. But Father, you've left us here. That's the reason you saved us, Father. But where we could just take up that cross. Where we could bear the cross of this. Father, if there's anyone in the Bible that I would love for my life to resemble, but I know that I cannot, would be Paul. Father, there's so many in the Bible that, Lord, that you can look to. But Father, we know that Saul, when Saul got saved, when his name was changed to Paul, he completely completely, wholeheartedly serve you. He's done whatever you asked him to do, he's done. But yes, he still faced battle. We all still will face battle today. But Father, we ask, Lord, that you just help us through all the battles that we will face, all the heartaches that we'll face. You can help us with them, Father, to keep our minds focused on you. And we just want to just say thank you, Father, for your saving grace. Thank you for saving us, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
My wife, she'll get across. She's just a little long way tonight. I said, well, praise God. I go back to scripture when Paul was preaching, when Jesus was preaching, when I was preaching in the Bible. They didn't have it. The people that they were preaching to sat down either. They stood.
Yeah.
They stood. It won't be just 1 hour, and it won't be just 2 hours, and it won't be just 3. Sometimes it was all day. Amen. But I know we can't go today. I mean, this old body won't allow me to go today.
but I
thank the Lord for what he's doing. I really do.
And I know that the gospel budget, but some of these the service was sent out.
Yeah.
You'll stand. You'll get them to stand.
One by one, you start seeing
them
sit
down.
Wow.
Yeah. I've seen them.
Well.
And he finished his prayer. He done read the scripture. He done finished reading the scripture. That means that ain't.
Yeah.
Oh, man.